Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the difference between burnout and chronic fatigue. And just as I was planning the content for this episode, I thought this is probably very much an oversight on my part, but this is, of course, the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Yet I don't think we've actually had a specific episode talking about burnout specifically. So if the concept of burnout resonates with you, or you're wondering if burnout is what you have, or you're wondering how burnout relates to chronic fatigue, are they separate? Are they the same? Are they different things? Then we'll be answering those questions in this episode. As always, if you haven't already left a review either on Spotify or iTunes, I would really appreciate it if you could leave 5 stars. I think on Spotify, you just have to leave a rating, and on iTunes, you can write a little blurb if you have time. Obviously, don't exert yourself too much in leaving a review, but it does help to improve the podcast ratings, and that means other people find the episodes and potentially get some really useful information that could be life-changing in some cases. So if you have a moment now, please do that. But otherwise, let's talk about burnout and chronic fatigue. And where I would like to start is actually a little bit of a recap on the nervous system. Now, talking about the nervous system is weaved into so many of these episodes because we know that being able to regulate the nervous system or have a regulated nervous system is a really important part of being a healthy human, irrespective of whether you have a chronic or energy limiting illness at all. And so I've previously done an episode, one of the very first episodes, episode 9, was on the nervous system and chronic fatigue. And that kind of talks about the bare bones of the nervous system and the structure of it and how it works. I also have my Getting to Know Your Nervous System workshop, which you can download on my website or gain access to on my website for free. And I've done, you know, many other episodes where we've touched on the nervous system. So today is just going to be a bit of a recap to begin with. And when we're talking about the nervous system, we're talking about the autonomic nervous system. And the autonomic nervous system has 2 main branches. It has the sympathetic nervous system branch and the parasympathetic nervous system branch. Now, when you're hearing all the time, nervous system regulation, we want to be regulated. You want to have a regulated nervous system. People who have a regulated nervous system are most of the time in their parasympathetic nervous system, specifically the ventral vagal branch of the parasympathetic nervous system. And then obviously if a stress comes along, something happens, they might then mobilize energy through their sympathetic nervous system. They might go into fight or flight. And then once the threat has been dealt with, the stress has been dealt with, then they should come back down into their ventral vagal again and come back to that more regulated state. So the other branch is the sympathetic nervous system, and that is the energy mobilizing system, where we mobilize energy so that we can elicit these fight or flight responses, so that we can activate our defense system essentially against real or perceived threat. But the parasympathetic system also has another branch, which is the dorsal vagal branch of the parasympathetic system. And this dorsal vagal branch can be really important for sleep and deep rest, but it can also be associated with freeze. It can be associated with shutdown. It can be associated with immobility. And it's often I will describe the dorsal branch of the parasympathetic system like the handbrake. You kind of just like yank it up and everything shuts down. Whereas the ventral vagal branch is much more like a soft, gentle brake. And then the sympathetic nervous system is your accelerator. So when we're looking at this concept of burnout, many people will experience burnout when they have been operating from their sympathetic nervous system, that's their fight or flight, using their accelerator for a really long time. And what that means essentially is that they have been overriding their needs, just pushing through, keeping on going for a really long time. And this can be, this can have been since childhood through learned behaviors, or this can come later in life due to things that have happened. For example, maybe going through some sort of big stressful situation. For a lot of people, it can be work, but it can also be emotional situations, certain family dynamics, moving countries, changing careers. That all sorts of different things can happen to people in their lives, being in a very stressful relationship or a toxic relationship. And all these different things can happen to us. And often it's not one thing, it's a collection of many things that all stack up, and we, for our own survival, feel like we need to keep on going. In my own personal journey with my own health, and I've shared more about this in detail in previous episodes, that this was me. I even remember being in high school and my mom saying to me, "You always take things too far. You're always pushing." And I would always be doing loads of sport. That was always my thing. I was doing far too much exercise for someone my age. And then achieving academically. But then also, as I became more of an adult, just working all the hours under the sun, doing loads of intense exercise, traveling, doing all sorts of extra courses and personal development, and basically always on the go with never enough balance for rest and restoration. And I think I've shared previously that, I had fatigue from a young age. I first experienced chronic fatigue when I was 9 years old. And my understanding of what happened to me at the time, rightly or wrongly, is that that was an emotional fatigue. That was an emotional shutdown to a certain degree. And so there's definitely this learned pattern in my nervous system of shutting down. And the way that I like to think of it, based on all the somatic therapy and my own sort of personal exploration that I've done through my own healing, is that I was very disconnected from myself from a young age. I'm a highly sensitive person. I was a highly sensitive child. And as a highly sensitive child, my coping mechanism for my sensitivity was to disconnect and shut down. Because if you feel a lot, not feeling anything can often feel a lot safer. So for a very long time, I was quite disconnected from myself, but I knew how to push through. And as an athlete, that's a very, very helpful skill, because if you don't feel your discomfort, if you don't feel your pain, if you don't feel that you're hungry, if you don't feel that you need to rest, you can keep going. The same with work. If you don't feel that you're tired, if you don't feel that you're overwhelmed, if you don't feel that you need to set a boundary, you can just give and give and give and work and work and work and achieve and achieve and achieve. But that's not sustainable long term. So my pattern for me was always to take things to the very edge and then beyond, and to take everything to the extreme with minimal amounts of rest. And that is a perfect recipe for burnout, because we can only keep mobilizing energy for so long. We can only stay in the sympathetic nervous system and do and achieve and push for so long. And eventually what might happen, and this happens differently depending on the person and their resilience and their unique circumstance and their life experience and how much support they have and all the different variables that make us a human being, is that eventually what the body can do is default into the dorsal branch of the parasympathetic nervous system as a form of self-protection. So essentially what's happening in a burnout is the body pulls up the handbrake, almost like it's saying, "You will stop now. If you're not going to stop yourself, I will make you stop, because what you're doing is no longer sustainable." And that's a really sort of very simplistic way of understanding burnout. And then when we're in this dorsal branch of the parasympathetic nervous system, when that handbrake is up, then we have this shutdown. We can have this chronic fatigue. We can have, you know, all the sort of things that may come with that, be more in a freeze, find it really difficult to mobilize our energy. And then chronic fatigue is a symptom of the burnout, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all chronic fatigue is burnout. So it's really important to distinguish between the two. Is if we think of burnout, burnout is ultimately the consequence of too much happening for too long. And that can have components, other physical components to it. So for example, there could be this shutdown happening in the nervous system, but there could also be other things happening as well. There could be nutrient deficiencies because you haven't been nourishing your body for so long and you've been burning through so much energy. There could also be, you know, digestive imbalances and toxins and mold and ongoing infections and blood sugar imbalances and all the other physical things that can potentially contribute to low energy could also be part of the clinical picture. But what I'm trying to communicate, to do my best to communicate, is that the actual burnout of the nervous system and the chronic fatigue symptoms do not always exist together, because you can get someone with a fairly resilient nervous system who has mold, who has digestive issues, who has autoimmune condition. And yes, some nervous system dysregulation could be predisposing to some of these conditions, for example, like autoimmunity, for example, but the two are not always connected. So often when I'm working with clients and I'm evaluating their cases, this is the question I'm asking. Like, does this feel like more of a burnout? Or what are the other physiological imbalances that are going hand in hand with this? So based on someone's health history, based on what they've told me about their life, based on test results that they've done, you know, perhaps previous blood test results or then test results that I asked them to do, if they're doing some functional testing, we can kind of build a picture of the case. And from that picture of the case, we can see, okay, this situation seems to be leaning more towards a burnout situation or a burnout plus some gut issues or some nutrient deficiencies or whatever else might be going on. Or this is mold. This is someone who's had a lot of toxic exposure for a long period of time and needs a lot of detox support and then a little bit of nervous system support on the side. So every single case is different. But sometimes, you know, we'll get clients ask, like, what do you think is happening? Do you think this is a burnout, or do you think this is something else? And of course, it's never my place to really say for sure, like, this is exactly what's going on with you and I know best, because, we don't always know exactly what's going on for someone, but we can create a hypothesis. We can act on the hypothesis. And if the person gets better as we support the hypothesis, then we know we're on the right track. And that's basically the system that I use in my business when I'm working with clients. So hopefully that helps to paint a little bit of the picture about, like, what burnout is and then how burnout compares to chronic fatigue. Understanding that chronic fatigue can be a symptom of burnout, but there can be other components which are also contributing to those fatigue symptoms as well. And that's all the other things that I've spoken about previously on the podcast. So where I'd like to go next with this is, well, what do we do? And for the purposes of this episode, I'm going to isolate the burnout from all the other overlapping things that could be contributing to fatigue and just focus on the concept of burnout specifically. If we're looking at this from this idea that this is someone who has been pushing too much for too long and gone into this almost like collapsed dorsal state, most people would think, oh, if they just rest, then they just rest enough, and then they can go back to whatever they were doing before, the job, the life, the relationship, the blah, 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 then that should be okay. And Rest is so important. We all need rest. Rest is a human need, and rest is where we recover and we repair. But just resting is often not enough to get someone back into their life, because very often there can be changes that have happened in the nervous system, which mean that going back to work is terrifying because of the stress that it caused in the past. Or getting into a new relationship after being in a toxic relationship can be terrifying because of the preconditioning of what's happened in the past. Or the idea of starting to study something or change career or whatever it might be. There could be an association between whatever that thing is, whatever the life that we're trying to get back to, even exercise, for example. There can be an association, or what I've referred to previously on the podcast is an overcoupling with whatever that thing is and fear, i.e. we're projecting our past experience into the present because we haven't yet been able to resolve that through our nervous system. And this is where it can be really helpful to start to show our body again that we're safe. And we have to really start by slowing down and renegotiating our relationship with self-care. Because a lot of this overriding, this pushing through that got us into the position of the burnout in the first place came from a disconnection to ourselves, lack of attunement, not being able to know what we need, let alone give ourselves what we need. And the journey of healing is really about being able to, first of all, slow down so that we are actually able to reconnect with ourselves. It's very difficult to stay connected to yourself if you're running life at a million miles an hour. So this is where that dorsal handbrake is so self-protective, because it stops the pattern. And although we wish it wouldn't stop the pattern, because stopping the pattern has been incredibly disruptive to our life, it was a life that wasn't working. And there's obviously some grief that might need to happen there, and there's some acceptance that needs to happen there. But what that dorsal handbrake does is it slows us down enough so we can begin to listen. And this is exactly what my experience of chronic fatigue was, is if I could have, I would have just kept on going. But because I couldn't keep going anymore, because I was forced to stop, because I was forced to rest, as uncomfortable as it was in the beginning, there was nowhere else to go but inside of me. And there was nowhere else to go but to begin to connect with me. And people were exhausting, so I couldn't distract myself with other people. I had to go inside and connect and rebuild that relationship with myself. And in doing so, raise my self-awareness, begin to really attune, like, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing. This is what I think I need in this moment. This is the boundary I need to set. Actually, this is too much for me. Actually, this is overwhelming. Actually, I need to go slower. This is my pace. So beginning to really, really understand what supports me and what doesn't support me. And in doing so, very, very gently begin to help me feel safe again to be in the world. And as I'm renegotiating how I am in the world around me changes as well. I can't work like I used to work. I can't exercise like I used to exercise. I don't know, eat certain foods, or, you know, eat too much sugar, or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, and very often they're like, I just want to get back to my old life. And one of the painful things we might have to accept is that our old life wasn't working. You can't expect yourself to work that hard, exercise that hard, and drink that much coffee or that much, eat that much sugar and still be an optimal human being. That wasn't working for you before. So it's not a failure if you can't work as many hours as what you used to It's not a failure if you can't exercise and push your body as hard as what you used to. It's not a failure if you have to change the way that you eat or the way that you drink because now you're actually noticing that certain things don't agree with you. It's a huge success because what's happening is you're really starting to notice how your choices, how your lifestyle makes you feel, and you're starting to make choices that are more aligned with how you want to feel and choices that allow you to thrive and choices that allow you to feel nourished and supported and cared for. And that is how we recover from burnout. It's not just about resting and then getting back into things. It's really about building that, rebuilding or renegotiating that deep relationship with yourself, being able to really care for yourself. I think I said to someone the other day, I said, you want to treat yourself like you are the most precious thing, the most precious thing. And if we can treat ourselves like we are the most precious thing, we can give our bodies all the rest and nourishment and connection and love and whatever else that we need. That is the foundation for how we get better. It's not to say that it's easy. It's not to say that it's quick. And it's not to say that it won't also be very, very hard at times to renegotiate how you exist in the world. But that is the way forward. And I think often, again, when I'm working with clients, they can take this sympathetic energy and they can put it into the healing journey. And these are the people who come to me when they've seen they're doing like their sauna, they're doing their cold plunges, they're doing their like intense hour-long breathwork sessions. And maybe they're, you know, taking a whole bunch of supplements, they're doing a detox, they're trying to get back into exercise. And they're just doing everything and using that push energy to heal. But as you can probably tell from listening to this episode so far, is it's actually very counterintuitive. What we really want to be doing is slowing things down, taking things gently, making small changes, creating good, healthy routines, making sure we're getting sunlight and gentle movement and that we're sleeping and that we're pacing and that our blood sugar is balanced. All the foundational five things that I talk about. But it's not done from a place of tick boxing. Like I need to tick this, I need to tick that, I need to do. But it's about giving space. It's about taking on one thing, letting that land, letting it embed in the routine, then taking on another thing. And this is what I'm finding more so as I work with clients is not all the time, but a lot of the time I'm holding the reins while the client is trying to pull ahead. And I'm like, right, you know, this is good. I just want you to make this one change and then we're going to see how that goes. And then we'll reevaluate and then we'll make the next change. And some people are like, oh my gosh, it's maybe if they've had different experiences working with different practitioners who've been like push, push, push energy, then often the client is like, you mean I can go slowly? You mean I can go at my own pace? You mean it's okay to take a break? You mean it's okay to stop the supplements? You mean it's okay that I'm not doing 5 million things? And I'm like, yes, the fastest way to get there is at a pace that's right for your system. Whereas, you know, sometimes with clients, I have to sort of nudge them along a little bit. I'm like, right, are you ready to do the next step? But for the most part, you know, I'm often holding people back. I'm trying to make things more simple. I'm trying not to overwhelm with too many supplements. I'm trying not to do things too quickly. Although everybody's pace is different, I can't say I always get it 100% right. But the more I practice in this space, and perhaps the more that more sensitive or complex clients find me, the more I am humbled by the understanding that we need to just be very gentle and very slow. And it's better to err on the side of gentleness and err on the side of slowness than go in the other direction and move too fast. And this is kind of finishing up a little bit more with the nervous system side of things. This is where I think brain retraining can also be a little bit tricky, because to a certain degree, the brain retraining, a lot of brain retraining programs are about pushing through and overriding. And I think in some situations that can be helpful. But when someone is in this very dorsal nervous system state, my preference is much more very, very small amounts of somatic work, the things that I teach in the Nurturing Resilience membership, just to drop that in, but very gentle somatic attunement, teaching people to really attune to their body and meet their needs, not in like an hour-long brain retraining practice, but in their daily lives. Because the somatic tools help people to reconnect with themselves. And through that reconnection to themselves, they start noticing more and more what parts of their life agree with them and what parts of their life disagree with them. And then from that refinement and being like, oh, actually, I don't enjoy that. Or actually, the way that that dynamic is working with that person or my work schedule or whatever it is, that's not going to really suit me longer term. It just enables people to make those changes little by little so that their whole life and lifestyle is supporting them to get better. Because very often people are wanting to get better and then get back to their life, not realizing that their whole life needs to change as well so that they can truly thrive. And I think that can sometimes be a really difficult thing for people to accept. And often where I see people plateau or stall or not make progress further along in their journey is because they're still trying to put a square peg in a round hole instead of changing the hole. So that brings me to the end of this episode, just talking a little bit about burnout. I hope it has been interesting for you to listen to. And perhaps if this idea of burnout resonates with you, it's given you some food for thought in terms of how you can support yourself, but also just again to name and remind you that sometimes there are layers of recovery. And one layer might be addressing this burnout in the nervous system, but there might be some other physiological layers that we want to or need to address as well. And I know that was definitely the case for me. This nervous system burnout piece has been a big thing that I've really had to work on and continue to work on now. But there were also many other physical layers as well that I needed to work through. So I will see you in the next episode. And I wish you a wonderful fatigue recovery day.